Hello listener, this is Nick Miller, your pal from the Garibaldi Gazette. This is a special bonus edition of the podcast in which I talk to Nottingham East Labour MP, and more importantly for our purposes, Nottingham Forest fan, Nadia Whittam. We talked about Nadia's history as a Forest fan, her favourite ever moment as a Forest fan, which I'm sure you'll be able to guess what that is. But we also talked about Forest's role in the community more generally, what Nadia thinks the club is doing well, what she thinks that the club could be doing better to serve the wider Nottingham community. We also talked about the potential for public money to be used in the regeneration of the City Ground and what that regeneration will mean for the broader community. We recorded this interview a couple of weeks ago, so there have been one or two developments that have happened since then, but we hope you'll enjoy it anyway. The normal edition of the podcast will be out as usual on Wednesday, but for now, enjoy this conversation with Nadia Whittam. Nadia Whittam, MP for Nottingham East. Welcome to the Garibaldi Gazette. Thank you very much for joining us.
Hi, Nick. Thanks for having me.
I wanted to get you on partly because, as someone from Nottingham who doesn't no longer lives in Nottingham, the political representation of people, of MPs from around the Nottingham area is sometimes quite embarrassing. I'm not going to name names. People know the names that I'm talking about. But with someone like you representing Nottingham on a kind of national scale, it is something to be proud about. And not only that, you're a Forest fan. I don't want to impugn the reputation of other politicians that say they're football fans and aren't, but a proper Forest fan as well. Can we kind of start by getting your kind of Forest origin story? What was the first game you went to?
Firstly, thank you for saying that. That's really kind and it means a lot. You'll know, having grown up in Nottingham as well, that you're either a Forest fan, a County fan, or a Glory fan. And I'm not a Glory fan. Hardly anyone at school was a County fan, and the people who were got the piss taken out of them. And like my family are Forest fans, so I was kind of like Forest by birth. But when I was younger, it was more in a sort of culturally Forest way, Forest in a not County way, a bit like people in my family are Catholic, but more in a not Protestant way than they are enthusiastic Catholics. I think the first game I went to, I would have been about 12. And it was with my dad and all my uncles. It was a derby game. And yeah, it was great. I remember being a little bit embarrassed being there with like all my uncles and everything. But actually looking back, like it was really nice. And it's been nice to see now actually, this didn't exist when I was growing up, but they've set up like Punjabi Forest fans have set up Punjabi Forest, yeah. Which it's lovely. Yeah. It shows like the diversity of our fan base.
So, when you say you were embarrassed, why was that? Was it kind of just your uncles were taking you to a game or something, or were they embarrassing you with their behaviour, as many of us do at Forest games? What was the story there?
Like there was a little bit of like sheep shaggers. I remember.
That's not bad. I wouldn't say that's embarrassing, but you know. That's just...
More embarrassing for Derby. Well, no, I'm joking.
I don't think you're going to be offending to... I'm going to guess that not many Derby fans are going to listen to this podcast. So, you know.
I think it was probably mainly around being a 12-year-old girl.
Yeah.
And that being generally like an awkward time.
And you are season ticket holder. Now, how long have you had your season ticket?
Not that long, actually, a couple of years. Yeah, I mean, my dad's always been a season ticket holder, so I'd use that sometimes. But yeah, now I've got my own.
It's nice that you're not a kind of, oh well, I support all teams from the Nottingham area. You could have Ken Clark Gambit. You've nailed your colours to them. I'm sure you wish Notts County very well, as many of us do, but you know.
Yeah, exactly. And I do sometimes get a bit of grief for that. People say, like you're an MP for the whole of the city, you represent county fans and Forest fans. And obviously, I was really pleased to see how well County did last season. I wish them the very best, especially when they're up against Wrexham, which has big money now. But yeah, like I'm a Forest fan, and I'm not gonna pretend to be a County fan.
Because you're, I've got the boundary of your constituency right. Is Meadow Lane in your constituency, but the City Ground isn't, or have I got that wrong completely?
So they're both
They both are.
outside
Ah, right.
my constituency.
Okay. So do you have? I mean, there might be being a Forest fan who's been around for the last few years. There might be an obvious answer to this, but do you have a particular favourite moment? Maybe it's a game, maybe it's something else. Was there anything that you will cherish for the rest of your life?
I mean, it's bait because I know that everyone would say the same thing. But it has to be when we were promoted, like just like the most, like genuinely, I take being promoted as the game itself and then the celebrations in the market square afterwards, those two things together, genuinely like one of the most special, beautiful moments of my life. It was just kind of, it was poetic.
Yeah, we were talking about this on the podcast last week. We had a long discussion about the times that Forest have made us cry, and some of them for not great reasons. But we all had to think of different things to say other than the playoff final because because otherwise it was boring. But we all said we were all three of us were just sort of reduced to tears on that day, and also just kind of emotionally exhausted by the whole thing. It was like, we have been. I think all three of us are. I was going to say a bit older than you. I think we're significantly older than you, but we've been kind of drudging around the Championship and League One for 23 years, and it all that kind of pent up emotion just was set free in that moment, and it completely wiped me out for a couple of days. It was a pretty intense experience.
Yeah, it was. And then going to the celebrations in the market square, like I remember like walking up to the council house and like hearing Mull of Kintyre and just can't get enough. And it did move me to tears. And then I got stopped by a journalist, I think it was BBC Radio Nottingham journalist, who asked for a comment from me. And then she said, you sound a bit emotional. And I was welling up, but I was a bit embarrassed about it. I was like, oh no, it's a big moment for the city.
Yeah, you have to. I suppose in an official capacity, you have to kind of dress it up as, oh no, it's about the benefit it brings to the city rather than your own kind of personal. This is actually making me cry on a personal level. I'm not getting so emotional because it might bring extra investment into the city or whatever.
It took me aback a bit though, because I didn't expect to be feeling that emotional about it. But
Is it? I mean, in terms of the celebrations in the market square, did you have? You didn't have any kind of, as a public representative, you didn't have any kind of official role with that.
I was just enjoying the vibes, but I was in there and on the balcony.
Oh wow! You're on the now. Hang on, right? Okay, you're on the balcony,
Yeah.
right? Tell us everything. What was it like being on the balcony? Well, most of us. I mean, I couldn't. I was too. This is the other thing we were talking about last week. We were sort of too emotionally exhausted to actually go to the celebrations. I had to work, but Matt was saying he lives nearby and just couldn't he couldn't get out of bed. So we were just kind of left watching from afar. But you were there. You're on the balcony. Tell us everything. What was it like?
It was incredible. Like seeing Steve Cooper in real life and like being able to like almost like pay our respects to him was great. Oh, just how happy the whole team were, and like especially like players who obviously aren't with us anymore, like Joe Lolley, yeah, who have been with Forest through everything, not everything, but you know, like through,
Some grim times.
yeah, the Super Cooper leads the Garibaldi chant was going strong. Oh, it's just an incredible atmosphere.
And yeah, that was what was going to be one of the next things I want to talk about. We're what are we now? A couple of months on from Steve Cooper leaving. I don't think I'm speaking for the rest of the guys on the podcast. I don't think we've kind of quite emotionally got used to that yet. How are you? This sounds like a question in a therapy session, but how are you feeling about Steve Cooper no longer being Forest manager?
I think as a city and as fans, we all still feel quite wounded about it. Like at the time, I didn't think it was the right decision. I thought that he should have been given a bit more time. Like the fact is, if it wasn't for Steve Cooper, we wouldn't be in the Premier League now. We wouldn't even be having this conversation about Forest performance under Nuno. I do think that like things have changed under Nuno though. Like Steve Cooper is obviously a huge loss, but I think we're playing better defensively and we're also not scared to attack more. There's a much better kind of joined up style of play right across the game. So like in the West Ham game, for example, Murillo, absolute machine. He's one of the best defenders, and under Nuno, he's kind of been able to prove himself, and that momentum stayed throughout the game. Whereas previously, we were pretty renowned for, you know, attacking in the first 10, 15 minutes, scoring a goal, and then just letting it slide for the rest of the game, which was really frustrating to watch. I think what I was really concerned about, I mean, obviously Nuno did very well at Wolves, but I know that he and Morgan Gibbs-White didn't have the easiest relationship there. And whereas Cooper had kind of built the team around Gibbs-White, I was worried that Nuno would deprioritize him. And I'm really pleased to see that that didn't happen. Like, I think it was after, I think, his first game or one of his first games that he put his arm around Gibbs-White and gave him a kiss on the head. And I feel like that was a really beautiful moment. And I feel like it was also a signal to the fans that like Gibbs-White was going to be important under his management as well.
But all of this is kind of logically true, but I don't think there are plenty of logical arguments to for Steve Cooper to go, but it's still, you know, I still feel quite sad. It's still a sort of emotional loss that kind of he's no longer around. You sort of almost wanted, I suppose, in a way, it was if it was inevitable that he was going to go, it's probably better that he went a little bit earlier before it got a bit too toxic.
Yeah, I'm glad that he went a hero. I didn't feel like that at the time. I felt like quite wounded by it, and I have friends who say that like it kind of ruined Christmas for them.
I was at the away end at the Fulham game. Obviously, it was five. Was it five? It was 5-0, I think. I've tried to scrub it from my brain completely, but and you know, second half, just sort of 10, 15 minutes of solid Steve Cooper chanting, even as we were kind of conceding the fifth goal. So I was glad that that didn't turn into something kind of more unpleasant.
Yeah, like I still felt right up until the last game like he had the support of fans. I know some people say that they felt that it was waning a bit, maybe a little bit, but I did feel that he still had the support of fans, and I think it's testament to the fans that, you know, earlier on in the season, he wasn't sacked because of pressure.
I mean, I think I probably know the answer to this, given that you know, you're very obviously very open about being a Forest fan, is that do you ever feel like you have to, as a kind of public representative, do you feel like you ever have to temper what you say in public about Forest? Whether that's, you know, you having your, as you were saying earlier, that you sometimes get criticism for, you know, maybe ignoring County or whatever, but your words kind of carry slightly more weight on any subject than, you know, for example, people who run a Forest podcast. Do you ever kind of have to sort of hold back a little bit or consider what you say about Forest because of your position?
I think especially around Steve Cooper sacking, I felt like I did a bit. Like I wanted to be mouthing off about that with everyone else. And I think I made my feelings clear, but you obviously have to do that in a constructive way, which you wouldn't if you could just, you know, say what you think in a more raw way.
Do you, I mean, is that a kind of, on a broader scale, is that a sort of more, is that a frustration for you? Because I get the sense that we will not go too much into the internal politics of the Labour Party, but your kind of position is not always in line with the leadership, perhaps. I mean, is that something that frustrates you more generally, that you have to not toe the party line, but you have to, you're sometimes a little bit restricted in what you might otherwise have to say on some certain topics?
I think it obviously is frustrating where your party is taking a different position on certain issues to the one that you would take. And I think in those situations, you know, you've got to make the case internally and try to win the argument and win the debate. And sometimes where that doesn't happen, it's a matter of conscience and you still have to do what you believe in. I guess the privilege that I have being inside the room, I'm not always inside the room in the party. I'm a member of parliament, but I'm obviously not on the front bench or in the shadow cabinet, is that I am to some extent able to make those arguments. I wish that there was more democracy in football. I think that often the fans are kind of at the mercy of the millionaires who own clubs and don't get to have their say. And that's probably why we see some of that unpleasant chanting.
Just sort of moving back to Forest, obviously one of the big things that is in the pipeline, or has been in the pipeline for a while, is the kind of redevelopment of the stadium. I mean, I think on a sort of basic level, I think we're probably all pretty glad that it is a redevelopment of the stadium rather than a suggested move somewhere else.
That would be a disaster.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't even necessarily matter where it is. It's just, you know, everyone listening to this already knows this, but the City Ground is such a special place that, you know, we have to really stay there. I mean, it feels like we are quite a way away from these actually being realised, but if the plans as they have been suggested do come to fruition, it raises the capacity of the ground and there are obvious benefits for Forest as a club. But do you think the expansion of the City Ground, making it a slightly more modern stadium, will have a benefit for the kind of broader community, for Nottingham more generally, do you think?
Yeah, I think it will. I mean, like the delay to the redevelopment has been pretty frustrating. It's been, 5 years since that plan was announced, and in the meantime we've become a Premier League club. Like you, I'm really glad that they're not talking about relocating it, because I think that would quite rightly be extremely controversial. You know, when I live in the Meadows just near City Ground, so we walk from home, walk over the bridge, well, like everyone walks over the bridge, but it's kind of like it's an experience going to City Ground. It's not like some of the other, like the bigger clubs. It's not like Emirates or Old Trafford, bigger stadiums that are a lot more corporate. It's a real kind of family atmosphere, Yeah, like I personally think, and I know that this might be controversial as well, I think City Ground is way better than Wembley. And I don't want to lose that. But at the same time, we're a Premier League club and the upgrading of the ground needs to kind of reflect that. I think like we'd obviously also hope that the bigger stadium would boost that kind of charitable added value initiatives. More facilities for the community trust, fan zone, youth training, and all that kind of thing. I have heard some talk about it not necessarily being cost effective, depending on where the seats are and if like they're premium priced. But nevertheless, like there will obviously be a big boost for local businesses. And you can see that just on match day. I mean, like everywhere, like within a kind of 1 mile radius of Trent Bridge is packed out.
There's I know there was a bit of talk recently. I don't know if you saw this, but where Jim Ratcliffe seemed to be kind of suggesting that he might seek public money to help with the redevelopment of Old Trafford. What would you have any kind of or would you object to this doesn't seem to be suggested, but if Forest were to seek any kind of public money to help with the redevelopment of the ground, would that be something that you would object to, agree with? Is it any thoughts on that?
I think those proposals for Old Trafford are controversial at a time where councils have had massive cuts, like Nottingham City Council, for example, has had 100 million a year cut every year since 2013. That's an accumulation of about £1 billion. And they're struggling to meet even their statutory duties with social care, homelessness, but also things that are seen as discretionary, like provision of youth services, that we know are life-changing, even life-saving, as early intervention measures to prevent youth crime, youth violence, poor health outcomes. When we're talking about the relationship between a city and a local authority and the club or clubs, it should be, which yeah, it has been with Forest. Like the Community Trust has done some really brilliant work supporting education, health and well-being, access to sports in Nottingham. I think the health stuff is particularly important, where obviously in a city with high levels of deprivation, we also have very poor health outcomes compared to other places. I'm not saying that the balance can be reset by a charitable trust doing work in the community. Obviously, that can only really be fundamentally fixed by government policy and government funding in the NHS, also in anti-poverty measures like increasing the minimum wage and increasing benefits. But it does help. The free food and fun days that they do for kids during the school holidays, again, really great, where we've got high numbers of people having to rely on food banks. I see that in my everyday work as a local MP. We're facing the worst cost of living crisis in our history. Really extreme poverty. Like I spoke to one constituent who couldn't afford to buy socks for her baby. So I
Jeez.
think now that we're a Premier League club, those kind of charitable initiatives need to be at the forefront and they need to be expanded where possible as well. I also think that it's really important that the club takes its responsibility to its workers seriously, and I'd like to see them work towards paying the real living wage.
That was actually this is going to be my kind of last question. We've kind of when we spoke last year about for the article I wrote for The Athletic, we spoke about Forest's kind of importance to Nottingham as a place and the local community. And you've just spoken there about the work that they already do in with the community. Is there anything that you would like to see Forest do more of? Anything that that you would help contribute more to the local community?
I think the big one for me is becoming a real living wage employer. That would make a very tangible difference to the lives of people who are employed by Forest. It also sets a good example to other employers in the city. Yes, the government has raised the minimum wage, but it's still not in line with the real living wage, which is what's calculated as the minimum that you need to live on. It's not right that the minimum wage is below that. And of course, I will be continuing to fight in Parliament for it to be increased to a real livable wage. But I think that's one big thing that the club could do. I also really liked the partnering up with UNHCR. Thought again that we're a diverse city, our strength is in our diversity, and it was really heartening to see that the club kind of show solidarity with refugees in that way.
Now, listener, I don't know if Nadia has done this deliberately because of
I
a
actually
conversation
haven't.
because of a conversation we were having before we started recording. But she obviously can't do this in a privileged position as a public representative. But Nadia is in the market for a shirt from last season with the UNHCR logo on it. She has one from before that was agreed with the blank front, but. If anyone has one of those spare, then I don't know, maybe get in touch with the podcast. We'll see what we can do.
I would obviously pay for
She would obviously pay for it. She's not looking for freebies, you know. This is, and again, I should say, this is not her asking this. This is me asking, possibly on Nadia's behalf. So, if anyone can help out there, drop us a line. Nadia, thank you so much for joining us. It's been fantastic talking to you, and we really appreciate your time, and we re appreciate that you are not only a Forest fan, but you are an MP from Nottingham that we can, well, speaking for myself here anyway, be very proud to represent our city.
Thank you so much for having me, and thanks for doing this podcast.